Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for this house of God. Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord God. We thank you for your many, many blessings toward us, Lord God. We thank you that you forgive us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, you give us what we don't deserve, Lord God, and we thank you for it, Lord God. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough for all that you have done and how you've blessed us, how you've kept us. Oh, Lord, how you give us what we don't deserve, Lord. So we just thank you right now. We pray once again, send your Holy Spirit upon us. Oh, to move on us, oh God, so that we can understand your word, Lord God, so that we can grow up in it thereby, Lord God, and be saved. So, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We make these copies. This is our original. Thanks. And we are going to start a new lesson today, the bread of life. And I got to tell you, you know, the preface to this lesson is that it is a lesson of sobriety. And I can't hear when people are talking. So, again, if we can just hold our conversation until we're done here. This is going to be a serious lesson because it's going to be a lesson that really takes on sobriety. You know, we have to be sober as we go into this lesson. As I was reviewing it, it just really hit me. And I believe it was just the Holy Spirit that was saying, my people have got to be serious about this one, about the bread of life and how essential and critical it is to our existence as children of God. Our existence as children of God does depend on the bread of life. So again, this is going to be, we're going to have some sober conversations about the bread of life as we go into this lesson. As you know, we're finishing up the book. We'll be finishing up the book. I think we have maybe 3 or 4 lessons to go. And hopefully, I know we'll be done before the end of this year. And we're going to go into the war room. I will give you information on the things that you need to go into the war room lesson. And it should turn out to be a very powerful lesson. And it seems like for the last few years, people, we have been on prayer. This is all our book is living and praying in Jesus' name because prayer is essential. Prayer is so essential for our continuance and our existence. We got to have this going on, okay? We got to have this connection going on if we are going to survive in this day and in this age. I can't tell you how critical it is. It's something that, you know, the Holy Spirit has got to bring to your heart and to your spirit. I don't think anybody can even tell you in words, but it's something that the Holy Spirit will have to impart to you how important it is that we actually have that communion with the Lord going. So our key verse is from John 6, 35. It's from the Amplified, and it said, Jesus replied to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me as Savior will never be thirsty, for that one will be sustained spiritually. And I want you to really take in that key verse about being sustained spiritually. The key theme of this lesson is nourishment. And we're going to talk about nourishment, folks, because without nourishment, you don't survive. Nothing survives without nourishment, so we have to have nourishment. So the first area under our lesson says, the undernourished believer will be weak and fall prey to the enemy. Like, you know, we could just park right there for a while. Let me read it again. The undernourished believer will be weak and fall prey to the enemy. This is not a statement of condemnation. It is a spiritual truth. Do you understand? It's a spiritual truth that if you're undernourished, you will fall prey to the enemy. And often, many times over and over, we've talked about who our enemy is. And sometimes I think we don't take it seriously about who our enemy is. But our enemy is a formidable foe. He's been around here for a long time. None of us has a resume longer than our enemy. Okay? So if you do not have the only person that has been around longer within you, then you're going to fall prey to this enemy. Weak believers will be unable to fight and lose the battle already won by their Savior because they failed to dine at his table. Hallelujah. According to a radio evangelist, one survey involving 1,500 lay Christians and pastors indicated the average believer spends only 60 seconds a day in a specific quiet time. 60 seconds. I didn't say 60 minutes. I said 60 seconds a day in a specific quiet time. And this excluding time for saying grace at mealtime. Leaders spend an average of only 90 seconds a day in devotional prayer. And this is from our book, page 164. I was like, oh my goodness, is that how sad it is? Is that how bad it is? Is that how much we don't pray? That we can't, we barely give God a minute before we go and do our thing for the day. So the next point says, what a sad description of our commitment to our Lord. In the book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name, the term spiritual dwarfs is used as it compares our spiritual man with the Japanese dwarf trees. I don't know if you've seen these trees. My daughter has a few of these trees. These trees can be deliberately undernourished and clipped of its buds to keep them small and unproductive during the time it should be growing. Eventually, such a tree will stop growing and just exist as a dwarf tree. They look good, but they are only fit to sit on a shelf. They produce no fruit and give no shade or protection. So they compared this in the book to a spiritual dwarf, a person that when they should be growing, they're being clipped over and over again. This Japanese dwarf tree, it's clipped deliberately. And see, that's where the serious conversation is coming in, is that are we doing what we do to ourselves deliberately? You know, God gave us free will. It's a gift. He's not going to take it back. He gave us free will. So we have got to understand that if we're being clipped, we have to check, what are we doing? What are the choices that we're making? What are we doing that keeps clipping our wings so that we remain spiritual dwarfs? And, you know, we can't do anything. We can't take anything. We're unproductive. And, you know, again, as it talks about this tree, it describes this tree. There's no fruit. It gives no shade. It's not helping anybody. Nobody's coming for protection under them because they're spiritual dwarfs. So again, I say again, this is going to be a serious conversation with us believers about the condition that we're in. Thank you, Rita. For the condition that we're in. The next point says we become spiritual dwarfs in the same manner. Our prayerlessness is deliberate. We deliberately clip our time with him. We deliberately clip the blossoms of his word that have taken root in our spirit. We start to step out in it. And then we step back. Remember the scriptures talk about, if you shrink back, I have no pleasure in you. You were gathering some faith. You read the word and you were gathering some faith. And then you shrunk back. You were about to give it. You were about to release it and let it go. And then you gathered it back to yourself. Because what if I can't pay my own bill? What if I can't do my own thing? And he says, if you shrink back, I have no pleasure in you. Because you're showing me you don't believe me. That's what you're telling God. I don't believe you. I believe in me more than I believe in you, is what we're saying. So we really need to get a grasp on what we are right now. And you know, I can't tell you where you are. You can't tell me where you are. This is a personal thing. That's why I said this is going to be a serious conversation, not necessarily between me and you. It's going to be a conversation between you and Jesus. You and Jesus need to have a conversation about where you are. And what you're doing. Are you a spiritual dwarf? We deliberately clip our time with him. We deliberately clip the blossoms of his word that have taken root in our spirit. Our failure to feed on the bread of life is on purpose. Our failure to feed on the bread of life is on purpose. We do it deliberately because we put everything else in front of him. We make choices. We won't get up early. We won't do this. We won't do that. We make excuses. And we deliberately do not feed on his word. We choose to spend the hours of our day on other matters. We feed our flesh and starve our spirits, then wonder why we are so easily carried away into sin. Hallelujah. There is a pressing into Christ and his word that is critical to your spirit's health during trials. Don't you know? And it especially happens during trials. You know, when we should be pressing into him, we press away, we run away, and it's because we haven't been fed properly before the trial came. We must be like the woman with the issue of blood, seeking after the bread of life. She deliberately crawled through the feet and the dust of the crowd to touch the hem of his garment to get her relief. Check out her story in Matthew 9. Can you see her? I can see her in my mind sometimes, just crawling through, you know, dirty, stinky feet, just on the ground. And she was stinky because she had this problem for a long time. You know, and they said it had something to do with blood. And I'm telling you, blood is living tissue. When it comes out of your body, it stinks. It reeks. So you can imagine how she was probably shunned and told, why don't you just stay at home? Why don't you just give up? See, that's what the devil tells. The devil tells us, why are you even praying? The situation is too grave. It's too bad. Why are you even praying? Why would you even bother to get up and go to a Bible study or go to a church or go to do? Why even bother? It's so bad. Just stay. Everybody knows your business. They're all talking about you. But can you see her? See, that's deliberate. She deliberately crawled through the feet of people and dust coming up in her face, probably coughing and choking, and she already doesn't feel good. Just to touch the hem of his garment. And I want you, as you recall the story, all these people around Jesus, but when she touched him, he knew it. Yes, he knew it. Because there's something about when you're deliberately and willfully, and I know you got to fight a lot of stuff today. I know there's all kind of distractions, you know, in the world today. But when you deliberately fight through all that distraction and tell people, you know, I'll call you back in an hour. You know, I'm going to put my phone over. I don't care who's texting me right now. I'm going to fight through and touch him. He will know it. He will know it. When you're reaching for the bread, you're putting all that other stuff aside because I need some of his bread today.
Amen.
So again, as I said, sober conversation about where we are. You know, put all our titles aside and all of our whatnots aside and let's sit and let's talk to him about where we are with him. Are we eating his bread or not? The next point on your lesson says, most of us truly believe in the invisible God, but do you see your spiritual man as a myth? You know, most people, I believe in God, But when you talk about our spiritual man, well, I don't know. I mean, we're so caught up in what we see about ourselves. All we see, you know, we've taught it that you're three parts to you, your physical body, your soul, and your spirit. We talked about it, but how many of you really believe it? Because if you really believed it, you'd be feeding it. You'd be feeding those other parts if you really believed it. But sometimes I think we don't believe in the invisible. We believe in the invisible God, but do you see the spiritual man as a myth? Do you see Satan and his demons as a myth? Just stories told of the invisible. You can't see it, so therefore you doubt that it really exists. The scriptures teach us this critical truth Therefore, we do not become discouraged or spiritless, disappointed or afraid. Though our outer self is progressively wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm telling you, that just talks about something. You know, we're so caught up in the physical that's deteriorating every day. But the scripture says our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day if we're taking in the bread. For our momentary light distress, this passing trouble is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond any measure, surpassing all comparisons, a transcendent splendor and an endless and blessedness. Hallelujah. You know, we just got finished with the chapter, The Lord of Glory, and we talked about the weight of glory, that you want glory that has weight to it. None of this superficial glory, you look pretty, you got this, you have all that stuff is superficial. Do you have a weight of glory within you that you don't have to say anything? It just comes out, it radiates. The weight of glory is what he's talking about. That surpasses all comparisons, a transcendent splendor and an endless blessedness. So we look not at the things which are seen. See, after all saying all that, he says, so we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal or temporary. They're just brief and fleeting, the Amplified says. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. And this is 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 from the Amplified. So we have to think about this because, you know, the apostle is talking about the invisible versus the visible, the temporary things versus the eternal things. And we have to look at this. And if some of us need some scientific evidence of the invisible, you know, we don't believe it unless we can see it. So we need some science. Some of us need some scientific evidence. So I want you to consider life and death. Consider things that are alive and things that are dead. When a person dies, something actually leaves the physical body, and the body can no longer sustain itself. They've even done weights and found a person weighed less after they were dead. And I don't know what that was all about, but we know for a fact that when somebody dies, something leaves. Something leaves. We can't see it. We just know. Something leaves. The invisible parts of them leave. That is a scientific fact. That is something that we all know as human beings. When the person dies, something actually leaves the physical body, and the body can no longer sustain itself, showing the criticalness of this piece. Because after this piece leaves, the body can no longer survive, it cannot sustain itself. And it starts to deteriorate because this invisible piece is so critical to the existence of that whole being as it was. This something is essential to the life of the physical, and it is something eternal. It moves from the body, but it does not die. You know, we've had all these reports of people that have died and been brought back, died, and you know, they all say the same thing. It wasn't over. You know, most of them say, I rose up out of my body. I saw the doctors working on me. It wasn't over. The invisible has been proven over and over, and even through live testimony, it's been proven that the invisible does exist. Although we cannot see the invisible parts of us, logic dictates that it exists. In addition to the facts of life and death, there is a fact that although our bodies are essentially the same, there is something within us that makes us uniquely different. Even when people are born in the same household, raised under the same conditions, there's something that makes us different from each other. And that is the invisible. Even identical twins, same identical genetic makeup, but yet born in the same, raised in the same household, but there's something that makes them different. I submit to you, that is the invisible. That is the invisible. And the reason why I'm, you know, I know you all know this stuff, but I'm like, I need to break this down because we keep ignoring the invisible, the eternal part of us, and compounding on the temporal stuff, the stuff that's deteriorating every day in front of our faces. We're getting older. Nobody is staying young. This body is deteriorating, and one day it's going to go back to the dust. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad. I'm glad he built in a clock on us, because I don't want to stay here forever. I'm sorry. I don't get these people that's searching for immortality, because I'm like, I don't want to stay on this world forever. I don't know. Why are y'all searching for that? Honey, let my time be done, Terry. And I'm going on to be with Jesus. That's okay. I was talking to my mom yesterday. And she was talking about how Bishop Eddie Long, who passed away, I think in January, was saying, just the last message he gave his congregation, he was prophesying to them about 2017 and how 2017 was going to be a great year, it was going to be a wonderful year. And my mom said, and then he went up and died. I'm like, well, it was a great year for him. He done gone on to be with Jesus, so it is a great year for him. You know, so I'm like, yeah. We got to know what a great year looks like. So we look for the eternal things and we focus on the eternal. And again, this lesson is a sobering lesson about looking at the eternal things. So the next point says the important question to ask yourself is, what part of you are you nourishing most? Again, I cannot answer that question for you. You have to answer that question. You and Jesus need to answer that question. The temporal or the eternal? The perishable or the imperishable? In the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians 15:53, it talks about that the day is going to come that when we will trade the perishable or mortal parts of us for the imperishable or immortal parts of us. In other words, we will be given eternal bodies to match the eternal parts of us that will live forever. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. See, this stuff can't go to heaven. Okay? This stuff cannot go to heaven. It cannot even handle heaven. You know? That's why the scripture says no man can look at God and live. Because this stuff would just blow away in the face of God. I think it would just disintegrate in the face of God. So he has got to give us eternal bodies, and the scriptures are making clear this is just one reference to us taking off the perishable and putting on the imperishable. So we got to understand what's coming, what's your future. See, your future is the eternal. Your future is not this temporal stuff. So you need to be finding out, what account are you putting money in? Because one account's going to be over. See, one account's going to disappear one day. And you don't want to get to the eternal and your account is empty because you never deposited anything in there. But the eternal is coming one way or another. It's coming. And you don't want to get there and your account is empty because you never deposited anything, that you never took on the bread of life. You never fed the eternal part of you. Christ often emphasized the eternal over the temporary. He taught us, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there is the desires of your heart. There the desires of your heart will also be. That's Matthew 6:19. He was always talking about the eternal. He was always emphasizing You know, I remember they were talking about the poor. And Jesus said, the poor you always have with you on earth. You're going to have poor people on earth. Focus on the eternal. I'm with the poor, but focus on the eternal. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added. See, the poor will be taken care of as we seek first the kingdom of God. The eternal will take care of the temporal, folks. That's the power of the eternal. The eternal will take care of the temporal. If you seek first the kingdom of God, all that other stuff will be added. Simple as that. Jesus was trying to flip the script on it. Just kind of flip it, because you guys are so caught up in this temporal stuff. And you won't feed on the eternal things. There's a quote in our book. The next point says, from E. Stanley Jones, that says, I am better or worse as I pray more or less. I mean, that was just his fact. I am better or worse as I pray more or less. It works for me in mathematical precision. And so I had to put a diagram in your handout on this one. This isn't in the book, but I just had to put a diagram on 1 hour of prayer plus 1 hour of Bible reading equals double strength, double spiritual strength, and 0 hour of prayer and 0 hour of Bible equals zero spiritual strength. Nothing in the eternal bank. You're going out empty. You're going out empty, or you know, you're putting in your 60 seconds and going out. I tell you, that 60 seconds of prayer will last you. I don't know, it might last an hour, I don't know. But you'll know, because you'll know when you feel weak and you the frustrations of the day are coming and you have no power to overcome. And your tongue slips and your mind slips and you feel frustrated and you, all the things that will become it. Remember what the scripture says, you are counted every day as sheep to be slaughtered. You're counted. Enemies got it lined up. He's like, I'm waiting for you to come out of that prayer closet, or I'm waiting for you just to come out of your house, because I got some stuff lined up for you today. So we want to press in. A live body screams for food in less than 24 hours. A dead body won't. Let me say that again. A live body, a living body, will scream for food in less than 24 hours. That body, I mean, it's going to be doing all kinds of stomach, going to be growling, going to be feeling all weak, because that body, that flesh is screaming for nourishment in less than 24 hours. For some of us, it's like less than 4 hours. It's like, forget 24. But a dead body screams for nothing. A dead body is silent and screams for nothing. A hungry person will go to extreme lengths to get food. A hungry person will steal for food. A hungry person will steal food. A hungry person will work. A hungry person will do whatever they need to do to get some food. A hungry, so if they're hungry enough, they might kill you for some food, because they're hungry. And that flesh is screaming for food. So the question is, does your spiritual man scream for food? And if it doesn't, boy, you got an important conversation to have with the Lord. Amen. I don't even miss prayer. I don't even miss reading your word. Uh-oh. My spiritual man is not even screaming. You know, as the pastor was talking about, people leave for the whole summer. No church for the entire summer, and don't even miss Jesus. Don't even miss it. See you in the fall. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. This is not a conversation to condemn anybody. This is a conversation for us to sober up. Amen. And understand the day and the time we're living in. This is a conversation that I hope will save your spiritual life, that will help you. Is your spirit screaming for him? When you are away, do you miss? When you don't read your word, do you miss it? When you don't pray, do you miss it? Sometimes when I go on vacation, it's hard to get away to pray like I do at home. You know, at home you have your little spot and stuff. But when you go on vacation, sometimes it's kind of hard to find your little spot, you know. Especially if you have to share a room, a hotel, or somebody with somebody, and you're like, I just need to find my little spot, you know. But do you seek it out? Do you find it? Because, Lord, I know I'm on vacation, Lord, but not from you. Does your spirit scream? Like a live body screams for food. Does your spiritual man scream for food? I'm reminded of the early church and how the scripture says they were meeting in homes and they continued on and their lives were being threatened. They were trying to stamp out Christianity and their lives were being threatened. Yet they hungered so much for Jesus Christ that they continued to meet to obtain their spiritual food. That's the early church. And remember the words of David. Boy, he said it so beautifully. He said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. David. Wow, the man after God's own heart. He longed. He said, man, as you can think of, you know, we've all been thirsty before. You know what it's like to feel thirsty. Does your spirit thirst? Like, I need some word. You know, sometimes I feel that, especially when I start getting ornery, you know. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need some word. I'm getting ornery, you know. I want to tell somebody off. Lord Jesus, I need some word, you know. Poor Matt. Sometimes I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need to go pray. I'm losing it with Matt. I got to go pray. And, you know, in my defense, Matt can take you some places. I'm telling you. But again, the word, the bread will sustain us. The bread will keep us, as the scripture says, for that one will be sustained spiritually if they understand that I am the bread of life. In your, you should have got the handout. This handout was just on the undernourished nation, I called it. What happens when you're undernourished? And this is undernourishment as a nation. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm leaving it to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read excerpts. But the main thing that was going on here is that Israel had come to a place where their priests were sinning. You know, the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they were sinning right in the temple. They were doing all kind of crazy things. And Israel was just in a bad state. You know, and then in their bad state, they had the audacity to go out to war against the Philistines. See, that's what we do. We go out, we're in a bad state, spiritually weak, and we go out thinking we can battle the enemy, relying on our armies and relying on our education and relying on our money and relying on our status and relying on our power. And that's what they did. They thought they were all that, so they went out to battle against the Philistines. This is from 1 Samuel 4. And how, I'm going to start reading at the fifth verse. It says, when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, what is all this shouting in the Hebrew camp? See, they thought that I can just bring the Ark of the Covenant. I'm doing whatever I please, but if I could just bring the Ark of the Covenant in and sit it in the middle of us, we're going to be all right because the Ark of the Covenant would. See, this is such a powerful lesson for us to see, because sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to, you know, I know I've been doing whatever, but I'm just going to go to church or I'm going to sit there. I went to church yesterday, Jesus. I gave you your due. And that's what we think. You know, I've got a Bible sitting in my house, so I'm good. And that's what they thought. And when they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid, because they had heard about this Ark. You know, but what they hadn't heard about is that Israel served a holy God. It wasn't about the ark. It was about his holiness.
Amen.
And when they learned that the ark had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. A God has come into the camp. They said, oh no, nothing like this has happened before. We're doomed. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kind of plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject, to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight. So the Philistines fought, and Israel and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, these are the priests, Hophni and Phinehas, died. What a loss. What a tragedy for the people of God. And here the enemies were like, from their history, oh, see, and that tells us something, folks. Do not rely on your history. This daily bread got to come every day. Don't rely on the bread you had last week and you had your victory and God came through for you. And, you know, do not rely on that. That's what they did. And the Philistines were even afraid, but they went down and fought and they defeated the Israelites. And there was a great loss. And even the priest died. See, God has no respecter of persons. See, nobody can think because I preach or I teach or I sing or I do this for God that he's going to wink at my sin. No, he won't. Hophni and Phinehas died. It goes on to say, that same day a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli, he was the father of Hophni and Phinehas, sitting on his chair by the side of the road watching, because his heart feared for the ark of God that he knew was in that battle. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. The whole nation, our armies are defeated. And they sent out a cry. Everywhere, the whole nation, because they knew what was coming next. Eli heard the outcry and asked, what is the meaning of this uproar? The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes had failed so that he could not see. He told Eli, I have just come from the battle line and fled from it this very day. Eli asked, what happened to my son? The man who brought the news replied, Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. And your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Boy, how sad. What we relied on, what we thought had been captured. You know, I just, and we've seen that, folks, we've seen that. We think, you know, I mean, we have seen great ministries fall in this nation. We've seen it. God is holy. He is not going to wink at anybody's sin. And we all have to keep taking in the bread of life. And I encourage you, even as you grow in God, please keep taking in the bread of life. Keep praying. Don't ever think that you're to a place where you don't have to take in the bread anymore, because I'm all that. The Ark of the Covenant was taken. When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backwards off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken and he died, for he was an old man and he was heavy, and he had led Israel 40 years. So that was the end of his story. How sad to finish like that. And then I included these verses because they're so important. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of her delivery. When she heard the news that the Ark of God had been captured and her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, the woman attended her said, "Don't despair, you have given birth to a son," but she did not respond or pay attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. You know, I think sometimes we don't realize. Because see, they should have known that the glory was gone before the war. See, sometimes we're walking around here thinking we have it all together, and we don't know that the glory of the Lord has departed. Ichabod. We don't even know. Ichabod's been written across our forehead, and we don't even know it. Had they known, they would have never gone into battle against the Philistines. They would have found another way. They would have been running. Sometimes I'm telling you guys, this lesson, the bread of life, we got to get it. You need the bread. They weren't feeding on the bread of life. They weren't doing what was right before God. And they had this idea that God was going to wink at it, and God won't wink at it. He's holy. He cannot wink at sin. He's holy. You, I, nobody can change that. So we really want to take in this lesson with a lot of sobriety. And Lord, am I feeding at your table? Lord, am I eating bread? Or do I have all this other stuff that I'm feeding on? The next point in your lesson is from Matthew 4, 3 and 4. And it says, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus replied, it is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. A point under your point says, under your lesson, under that scripture, if the tempter would approach Christ, the Son of God, how much more will he and his demons approach you? In this passage, Christ was completing his time in the desert, fasting and praying before he began his public ministry. As a human, his body was weak, but his spirit was strong. He had nourished the eternal, invisible part of himself and was ready for his invisible enemy when he came to challenge him. Can we say the same? Because he's coming. He coming. That enemy, he has been here and he's coming back.
Amen.
That last victory, great, I'm glad you had it, but you better be ready for the next one, for the next battle. Many people have had great victories only to fall. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a secret. Sometimes the enemy to your next victory is the past victory. Because we rest on it. Oh, I got through that. I don't have to pray. I don't have to, I can skip church for a while and I don't have to pray and I don't have to be. Be careful. Be careful, beloved. I'm telling you, I'm saying this with all seriousness. Please be careful. As the word has said, that adversary of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking. Seeking who's not praying. Seeking who's not studying the word. Seeking who he may devour. All this stuff that happens to you is not random. We all have trials that we're going. It's not random. Don't you understand? It's not random. God knows it's happening. He knows it's coming at you. All the stuff you're dealing with, all the things you're crying about, he knows. And he's offering the bread to sustain you and to help you and to keep you. He doesn't want you to die spiritually. He paid a great price for it. So again, we just want to, again, press in. Your day of challenge or temptation has come and will come again. It comes for all of us as we live here on earth. The response to the temptations of Satan, our invisible enemy, can change the course of your life. Your response can change the course of your life. And if you are spiritually undernourished, you will respond incorrectly and hurt the heart of your Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to ask you something. What if Jesus would have responded to Satan by turning the bread into stone? I mean, the stones into bread. What if he would have done that? What would that mean? It would mean that he has allowed himself to be manipulated by Satan and away from his purpose. See, you've got to understand purpose and what God has called you to do. You know, yes, he had the power to do it. He could have done it. Many of you could do stuff. You know, somebody poking at you and tempting you and aggravating you, and you have the power to do all kinds of things to that person. But will Satan be manipulating you away from your purpose? Sometimes you're letting your light shine before somebody, and that very person that you're trying to let your light shine for in front of them is the one that's in your face, giving you so much grief. And the enemy's got all kind of thoughts in your mind. You know, you could do this and you could do that, and you don't have to do that for them, and you all kind of. But if you do it, folks, you've stepped out of your purpose and allow the enemy to manipulate you away from your purpose. That's why Jesus responded, man does not live by bread alone. He's talking about physical bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's talking about obedience to God. That's my purpose. Not turning some stones into bread for you. And we got to keep that in mind. But again, we have to be feeding on the bread of life. We have to be so careful that we're not responding in our flesh and things. The next point says, note that Jesus was talking of the natural or physical bread in this passage. He was speaking of the truth about being human, that we cannot live only by natural bread, things, money, the temporal, but we live by the word of God, the eternal promises, covenants, and teachings, that which saves and keeps our souls. Don't you understand, folks? Even if our souls are gone, even if this body is killed, we still go on. We live on. The eternal is more important than the temporal. You know, that's why we can bear, you know, people losing people and people dying, because the eternal goes on. And if you're in Christ, oh my God, the joy. As I said, it was a good year for Bishop Eddie Long. It was a good year for him. So we got to see life in the eternal and feed the eternal parts of us. The word of God is what keeps the eternal and the invisible parts of us. So you got to ask yourself, what am I paying attention to? Are you starving your spirit? Are you stumbling through your day? Are you starving the invisible part of you? Feeding that visible, but starving the invisible and stumbling through the day. The next point says the nourishing of the eternal part is what separates us from the animals in the eyes of God. And I want you to really get this part about who we are. It is the part of humanity where the breath of God lives, and it needs nourishment. You understand? That's probably the most precious part of you, is that part of you where God lives. Your spirit, it's so precious. You know, when he breathed into man, that's what happened. This nourishing is what draws us close to God and his Christ, the bread of life. The scriptures remind us of our origin. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, that physical part of us, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's from Genesis 2:7. And the breath of life needs the bread of life. Do you get that? That is such a precious part of you. Please don't starve it. If we would just feed it, boy, how we would be. How different we would be. It would be so different. So again, folks, I say it again. This is a serious talk. This is about having that serious talk with the Lord. You know, he knows where you are. Don't try to hide it. Just be candid with him. He knows already. He just wants you to discuss it with him. You know, you can't help a patient unless they want to be diagnosed. You know, you can even tell the diagnosis that if they don't want to receive it, they're not going to get any treatment for it. So take yourself to Dr. Jesus and let him talk to you.
Praise God.
About where you are and what you're about and how we're going to move from this place, how we're going to start feeding on the bread of life and how we're going to start getting our nourishment from here on in. We're going to start getting our nourishment, understanding the essential and the critical part of it, getting our nourishment. Getting our nourishment. Boy, I'm telling you, though, that statistic, 60 seconds? Oh, God, it's got to be more than 60 seconds. Oh, my God, even if you just break the 60-second barrier, we're making progress, okay? Well, let's do that. Any comments or questions?
It was so funny because I was just telling Rita, and the one in my office said, if you want to change your visible, which is your outer man, you must change your invisible, which is your inner man. Mm-hmm. And I focus it now every time I come into work and just looking at that. So by changing your inner man, as you already, I wrote that down before, I didn't read the thing.
Wow.
I showed to her, I was like, wow, I've been meditating
yes,
on that.
Yes.
And I've been meditating on Matthew because that's what I've been reading every day, you know. And it just, that's what, I mean, I love that. It's a confirmation for me. You know, just changing your inner man, reading the word.
Yeah.
And the outer man, it will show the outer man, right? Your fruit.
Yes.
That comes out, the blessing of God.
Yes.
Every day. So I just wanted to share that.
Yes.
I've been meditating on that.
Yeah, because that fruit piece, see, as we were saying, that tree that doesn't produce any fruit.
That's right.
You know, because it's not being nourished, it's being clipped. See, and that's a big deal because, see, the fruit has to do with the people around you.
That's right.
The people around you. See, the tree does not eat its own fruit.
No.
It is the people around the tree that eat the fruit. So when you're clipped, not only you are suffering, but those around you too.
Yes.
No fruit for them.
That's right.
Because you won't grow. You won't grow up. You know, who's in
it? Several years back in my walk with Christ, I got my eyes off God and I spoke negatively towards the man of God. As a result, I spent 20 years walking around in the wilderness. You can repent of your sins, but there's consequences.
Wow.
God is a just God.
Yes.
What you do today, you will pay for down the road. Hmm. If you don't pray, your children may not be saved.
Wow.
They may not be delivered from the bondages that are controlling them today. Your actions will reflect in God's mercy. God will always show us mercy. Mm-hmm. He will always show us grace. But if you really believe that he is who he says he is, and he is who he says he is, pray.
Amen.
Because there's people that are counting on you. There's people that you need to stop playing games.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
You need to get your life together.
Hallelujah.
Because there's people that are dying.
Yes.
And one day we will give an account of all that we said, all that we did, our thoughts, our actions.
Indeed.
Let them reflect Christ.
Yeah, all that we did and all that we didn't do.
Amen.
See, this lesson is about what we didn't, what we don't do.
Yeah. It's like the knife is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look upon a dead person in a funeral home, and I look at my mother, she could talk back to me.
Yes.
But I could talk to her because I could remember the memories that we had. And when you see a dead person, they just lie there. Their spirit's gone. It's a shell. What we live with them is gone. Mm-hmm. And that's what our eternal is all about.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look for that area. Yes, I love my mother. But I know one day I'll see her again.
Yes.
And she won't be like she is today.
Amen.
And that's why we need to know that the blood, when it smells rotten, right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's clotted, it's ugly, you know. But that blood is not of any use anymore. Because
mm-hmm.
it has to run.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It has to run.
Yes.
And when it stops,
yes.
it's like glue, I guess.
Yes.
You know, there's no life in it. So.
It clogs.
And that's what our life is all about. We have to keep that blood running.
Yes.
And remember my times with our loved ones so that we know that we will see them again. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. See, life changes. Life can't stay still.
Yeah.
You know, life is going to keep growing. It can't stay. And when it stops, then it serves no more purpose.
Right.
It clots. The blood clots. Yeah. It no longer flows. It just becomes a big lump of nothing.
Big lump. Yeah.
Big lump of smelly nothing. Smelly nothing. Anybody
you can wipe it up, but the stain is still there.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Virginia.
Well, you know, it's just like when a person goes back when we weren't saved, where we were at, it was only because the word took place in our hearts to get us to this point. But when you go back and you think of where I was at, I was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get saved, you say, well, it's going to have to be fed.
Yes.
My spirit's going to have to be fed, because before it was so messed up, it couldn't receive the feeding.
Yes. Yes.
So it was Christ. It was the night I got saved that I could say that I woke up and said, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
Because something took hold of me inside. And when you think of all that, this is a serious walk.
Yes.
This is something to play games with. I know for a fact that God is not playing with us one bit. He knows our choices we have to make. He knows what we're going to do. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to... He knows everything.
Yeah.
So we're not fooling anybody.
Yes.
So I kind of think we have to go back and examine ourselves.
Amen.
Daily.
Amen.
And ask the Lord with his word.
Yes.
What do you want from me, and
yes.
how could I grow and see others come to the knowledge of your salvation? Because that's what it's all about.
Yes.
But I do think that, man, when you start, I'm talking here, when I start thinking of how messed up I was, that scripture read of Matthew 6:33 comes so alive to me.
Mm.
Virginia, you seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and I will add all these things unto thee.
Yes.
Will my kids get saved? Will my grandchildren get saved? He said, seek ye first and pray and let him do what he has to do. That's all he asks of us.
Yes.
So I thank God for knowing
Amen.
That we serve a God that is not playing games, first of all.
Yes.
And we better take him serious.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God, I love him so much.
Amen. Amen. Well said, Virginia. Well said. I tell you, that bread seeking first means that bread.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be getting that bread, getting that bread.
I just want to follow up on what I said. I love that. It's my favorite scripture and stuff. And about planting your seeds, that means no negative things. When you plant negative things in your heart, that comes out of you. So all the things that you want to just plant is the Word of God every day. And when the time comes, when you talk to somebody, that Word comes out of you. So that's the planting. I know I was watching this movie, The Secret. It's about all the positive things, what you plant in your heart, and it comes out in your soul. So I just, you know, like... I don't like the testimony of seeking first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness and all this thing will be added unto you. And it's so true about it. You know, it's automatic. When you seek him every day,
yes.
it's automatic.
Yes.
Your life just flows so perfectly.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I just love God so much. I cannot live without even reading the Word before I get out of bed. I just love His Word. You have to love it.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. I'm telling you. Wow. Yeah, I know.
Love the Lord.
And you know, and what she's saying is true. It's so true. You know, when I was younger in the Lord, I mean, reading His Word was a chore. I mean, I'm honest. I'm being honest. Praying was a chore, you know, and I think we've all been down that road where it's like, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to pray, so let me get up and pray, and, you know, and we said our little prayer, you know, that probably lasted less than 60 seconds, you know, and read our scripture. Oh, let me pull a scripture out of the scripture box. Okay, Jesus wept. Okay, put it back, you know. But as you grow in Him, as you start taking in that bread and taking in that bread, you will start to love that bread. You will identify with David.
Amen.
When he says, as the deer pants for the water. I couldn't always identify with that scripture, folks. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures I couldn't identify with when I was young in the Lord. Like, you know, glory and tribulation. What is he talking about? You know, I didn't get that. But I'm getting it now. I'm getting it how he floods your mind every time, you know, you have a free second. He floods your mind. You know, it's like a being in love with Jesus Christ. And as you take in His bread, you want to hear His Word. And His Word comes up in you. Something you read comes up in you. It's confirmed. You're writing stuff down. And when He confirms it to you, you get excited. Because you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's talking to me. Oh, my God. He heard me this morning because I said that this morning. I said this morning. No, my God. He's listening. And it's the most exciting thing when you realize that the God of all the universe is listening to you.
Amen.
And He hears you. And that's what this love affair is all about, because you'll find that He will bring things to you that only you and Him know about.
Mm.
And that's how intimate it is. That's where that intimacy grows. So if you're not there, I encourage you, keep pressing toward Him. If reading Bible, reading your word is a chore, do the chore.
Yeah.
Do the chore. I'm encouraging you. If it's a chore, do the chore.
It becomes a habit.
At some point, it's going to take life in you.
Yes.
And at some point, it's going to blossom in you. And He's going to say something to you, and you're going to get it. Oh, my God, I read that just this morning. And then you're going to know He's talking to you personally.
Yes.
And it gets to be so exciting at that point.
In the storm. You know,
in the storm.
Through the storm.
Yes.
Yes.
You're not.
Oh,
you're
hallelujah.
Not, you know, when you hit a storm.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
You're ready for it.
Oh, yes.
Because you've been in this world.
Amen.
You know His promises.
Yes.
And you think to yourself, how can you ever be ready for that miserable storm?
Yes.
It's because of the
word. And you'll
and
feel
you
like
feel it.
Amen.
Right away you say, okay, that's it. That's it. I know what you said, Lord. I'm just going to depend on you to take care of it.
And you'll feel that love like the woman with the issue of blood.
Yes.
I know she felt the great love when He turned around and said, who touched me? You know, all these people clamming around Him, and He turns around and says, who touched me? I'm paying attention to you because I see your heart, and I know you came just to touch me in the love, like in the trial. In the trial, when you feel that love, when He comes to you in the trial, nothing's changed, but He's wrapped you in His love in the trial. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like
it.
Yeah,
I just want to say, like I said last week, with Rachel, and the doctor said she didn't have that. That semen. And I told the doctor, I said, I only prayed once about it. I already knew. You're not telling anything new, because I already knew that God would take care of it. And I wish I could be. I want to spend more time. You know, I've been negative before, and a lot of people, you know, but I'm starting to get better. I'm not perfect, but I want to spend more time being able to, because you said that's a witness, being able to witness. And then like she was saying, you know, you're comforted by that God's going to come back, and that it's going to be okay. And you know, and I'm comforted because I don't know about my brother, which way he went, but I just have to hope for the best, and I ask God. And I was talking to my brother the other day, and you know, it's just another thing about, I know that we're going to go to heaven soon, and it's going to be soon because all these things are going on. I told my brother who lives in Ohio the other day, I said, we were talking about the
what do you think about what's going on in North Korea and all that stuff? And I said, you know what? I say, we win no matter what. If they press that button and we go off a new blue smoke, I'll see you in the air, because our dream will come true, our contract will be with Jesus. We win either way. And
there you go.
Yeah. I'm going to spend more time. I'm going to be off in August. I'm going to be able to drive and have my surgery, and I can spend more time with
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I won't suffer. I know people don't want to hear that. You know, yeah. Press the bomb, we win. It's true. We win either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
And either way, God comforts me by yeah. knowing that that's something that's going to happen. Nobody can change it.
I tell you, it's all in His hand, and no matter what comes, He's in control, and we can trust Him no matter what. So, let's. Amen.
Stub your toe and say, well, where are you? I'm right here.
Yes.
Yes.
He has a way. And that's love. You know, I know we don't feel like it's love, you know, when we have to go through things, when our routines are interrupted, when we have to have surgeries and other things, you know, but I find that within all of that, His love is just right there. It's an opportunity to sit and to read your word and to study and to minister to those around you, you know. So no matter what happens, He is there, and we can trust Him in everything.
He's invisible to the eye, but not to the person.
That's right. That's right.
Because we can't see Him. People
yes.
People can see God. We're yes. Places,
we see the effects. You know, if you pay attention, He's all around you doing stuff all the time. If you would just pay attention. We don't pay attention. That's why we don't think we see Him. But if you pay attention, He's everywhere telling you things and ministering throughout your day. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Father, we just thank You for the Son. Lord, we thank You for the bread of life, Lord, sent to us to feed us and to nourish us, Lord God. Father, I pray from this day forward that another day will not go by that we do not take in the bread of life, that we would seek for it, Lord God. Father, I pray that You would burn it within our spirit to be hungry for it, Lord God. Oh, Father, we understand that our salvation is a process. Oh, God, and sometimes we feel like we're pressing through to pray and we're pressing through, Lord, to read Your word. But, Lord, I pray that we would press through, Lord God, that we would be like that woman that crawled, oh, God, through whatever she had to crawl through to reach Jesus, Lord God. Let that be our heart's desire, Lord God. I pray that You would increase our faith, that you would increase our hunger for You, Lord God. Lord, I pray a blessing over Your people. Keep us, protect us. Lord, we are the church. Lord, help us to be the church, Lord God. Oh, Lord, my heart aches sometimes for Your church, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that You would raise us up in this day, Lord God. Lord, we can't be raised up, Lord God, if we're weak. We can't be raised up if we're starving spiritually, Lord God. We can't be raised up if we're spiritual dwarfs, Lord God. So I pray, dear Lord, oh, Lord, raise up Your church. Raise up Your people, Lord God. Let us hunger for You, Lord God. I cast down pride and I pray humility would sweep over Your people, Lord God, that we would see the power of the humility of our Christ, oh God, to win this world for Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we thank You. We thank You. You've given us everything we need. Everything. You have spread a table before us. And given us everything. You have put the bread on the table, oh Lord, for us, Lord God. Oh Lord, let us partake. Let us partake, Lord God. Oh Lord, let us put aside our technologies for a moment and our issues for a moment. And Lord, just seek the bread. Come to the table and seek the bread, Lord. I pray that everyone in this room and beyond would have serious conversations with You as we study this lesson, Lord God, that we would come to You sober. Oh, Lord, not full of foolishness, but come before You sober to talk seriously about our relationship with You. Oh, Lord, if it's stagnant, Lord God, oh, God, if it's a swamp, Lord God, make it a rushing river. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, if it's become a clot because the blood no longer flows, oh, God, speak to it, Lord God, so that the blood would flow once again and we would grow and continue growing and flourishing as your people, that we would produce fruit, Lord God. Oh, Lord, some of us, we look over our lives and there's no fruit. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord God, from this day forward, oh, Lord, let the bread of life feed us so that we would produce fruit, Lord God, that we would produce shade, oh, Lord, to a world that needs comfort, to a world, oh, God, that needs ministering to, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord God. I pray that we would let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and see our Lord and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name, the bread of life, we pray today. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.